Good morning, everyone. Psalms 24, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle, that the Lord Almighty might come in. Make room for the King of glory. Invite the King of glory. Announce His coming. Prepare the way. God wants to bless us. God wants to enlarge us. God is bigger than our gate, than our door that we're opening to Him. And the psalmist says, make the door bigger. Allow Him in. Last week we looked at the gospel from John 3:16 is for everyone. The good news of Jesus is for everyone, and it's necessary for everyone. The state of every person in the world currently without Christ is under condemnation, under wrath. But the good news of Jesus is that He has come to save each and every one. He offers salvation available for all. The good news is that there was a man named Jesus who claimed to be God. He was condemned to death and was crucified. But this dead man Jesus is alive today. That's the good news. He must be who He said He was, is alive today. That's the good news. He must be who He said He was. And if He's who He said He was, He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the one sent. And He's the one who comes offering everlasting life to all who believe. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinner. It's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick that need a doctor. Everlasting life for all who believe. But there's more. What about once we do believe? What about you and I who have believed? What about those years that we're living right now? We have the privilege of walking in eternal life now. Our address changes when we pass away from earth to heaven. But we have the privilege of walking in eternal life right now. It's not that He offers us just life after you finish this earth. Then you get to go to heaven and have life. But He offers us life now. And so today, if you want a title for the message, let the King empower you. Let the King empower you. Jesus is not walking on the earth like He was with the disciples. And when He ascended into heaven, His disciples were concerned about the fact that He would not be walking around physically like He had been. You remember well what Jesus said in so many different places, but I'll read to you from John chapter 14. Jesus talking to His disciples, "If you love Me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." Let the King empower you. Let the King live in you. Jesus goes on, John chapter 14, verse 18. "I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Jesus saved us to live for living. Jesus saved us for living now in this world. And he offers us life and power in this world. He wants to empower us, well, for so many things, but today for two things. I want to look just very simply at two passages of Scripture. And on the topic of the Holy Spirit empowering you, there's so many passages. If you just do a word study for information about the Holy Spirit, the Bible is full of it. Old Testament, New Testament. The Spirit of God empowers us for so many things. But today I want to look only at Ezekiel 36 and Acts chapter 1. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, go to the middle of your Bible, and then go to the right, you'll find Isaiah. And then after Isaiah, you'll find Ezekiel. And some other books left and right of that as well. But we're going to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Paul tells us in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We want to receive God's empowerment. We want the Holy Spirit to live in us. But first we need to see from the word that it's his desire. If it's just some guy's philosophy, if it's just a little club that likes to do special things together, we don't have faith. But if it's God's word, if it's his will, then we have faith. And there's so many things that come by faith, but today we're looking for just two things. From Ezekiel chapter 36. Now the background here is Ezekiel is prophesying all of the horrible things that Israel is being judged for. Israel is under judgment, and the chapters before this, primarily God is saying, because of Israel's bloodshed and violence, and secondly, because they're always worshiping other gods, they're about to be judged. They're under God's judgment and condemnation. And it's because of this that they have been scattered around the earth through war, through other kingdoms coming against their country. God is revealing to them why he has judged them. He has judged them because they're trusting in other things instead of God. He's judging them because their land is full of violence. They've been scattered. But then Ezekiel goes on to tell the people, God's going to change this. God's going to bring you back to your land. God's going to do a new work in you. And there's a reason for it. And the reason is his own fame. Chapters 35 and 36, God makes it clear, I'm going to help you and I'm going to bless you, but it's actually not about you. It's about the fame of my name. It's because wherever you go in the world, my name is looking like mud right now. Because my name is attached to my people. He put himself upon us. He covenanted with his people. And then because of their sin, even though they were his people, he had to bring judgment upon them. But wherever they went, they were still walking in this sinful state. And the world saw God's people and said, I guess that's what God is like. In the same way, a Sunday school teacher or a school teacher or a babysitter might see a child and say, I think I know a little bit about their home. Right? When you're with children, you learn a little bit about their home. When you're with adults, they let you see what they want you to see. Like on a Sunday morning, you know. We let each other see what we want to see. But kids tell it like it is. And you learn the integrity of a home. And this is the example that is being shown to us from Ezekiel. God is saying, throughout the world, my name is losing glory because of how my people are living, Israel. And I'm going to fix it. I'm going to send a Messiah. And he's going to do something that's going to change my glory. That's going to make me famous. Now we come to chapter 36, verse 24. You can go back later and read chapters 1 to 36, but we'll start in verse 24. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Now, doesn't that verse ring true throughout the Old Testament? Again and again, God says, you will be my people, and I will be your God. That was the whole goal of the Messiah. I would write my laws in your heart and mind, and you would live for me. Jeremiah 31 as well. And I will be your God. Verse 29, I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call you, I will call for the grain and make it plentiful, and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field, so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and your wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourself for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced of your conduct, O house of Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On the day that I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated, instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. And they will say, this is the land that was laid waste. This land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruin, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed, and I have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. God will sprinkle us with clean water, verse 25. God will give us a new heart, verse 26. God, verse 27, will put his spirit in us and move us to follow his decrees. The purpose of the Holy Spirit empowering us is first and foremost to move us to follow him. To follow his decrees. To obey. The most important thing about God empowering us is that we would truly be children who obey. The primary goal of what God was after in bringing the Messiah, paying for us, and then remaining by the presence of the Holy Spirit, was that he might no longer just be around us or up on us, but that he might actually be in us and moving us to obey. What an amazing promise. Now, I wouldn't have faith if it was just because he loved me. But the fact that he does this for his glory, that gives me faith. I can get down on myself. I can lose interest in myself. I can find a million reasons why God shouldn't love me. I can look at my own sin, my own shortfalling, and I can understand why God would reject me. I can understand why God would condemn me. That's easy. And no matter how many times you tell me that God loves me, if I'm in a low, low state, I might not believe you. But when I understand that that's exactly how Israel was, and it wasn't because of all that, it was because of his own fame, his own glory. God will move me. God will fill me. God will teach me his way. He will show me his way. He will continually knock on the door of my heart and continually encourage me in his way because I'm representing him. He has put his name upon us. He shared his identity with us. Like my children represent the Bornman family. Whether they like it or not, their actions reflect on the Bornman family. They cannot change that. They were born into it. So you and I have been born into the family of God. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus. The moment that we believed in Jesus, he claimed us also as one of the redeemed, one of the purchased ones. His grace was available for all who would believe. We believe he paid on the cross. We believe that a dead man, Jesus, is actually alive. We believe that the reason he's alive is that the sacrifice was accepted. And when we believe that, we become one of his children. And because I'm his child, I represent him whether I like it or not. Because I'm his child, Vancouver thinks something about Jesus because of David Bornman. Vancouver thinks something about Jesus because of Daniel Conchi. Vancouver wonders something about Jesus because of Grace Severson. Because his name is upon us. We live for him. And because of that fact, his glory is at stake. And because his glory is at stake, he will continue to perfect you. He will continue the work that was begun in Christ Jesus. He will continue to move you from glory to glory to glory. That gives us faith. The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming, that he might move us to obey. Now, as I said, the Scripture gives many reasons what the Holy Spirit's work is among us. But a second one we want to look at, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. We read in all of the Gospels that the disciples were told to go to Jerusalem. The promise of the Holy Spirit would come. Jesus appears on the road to Emmaus in the book of Luke chapter 24. They realize who it was. They come back. And others are saying, yes, he appeared to us also. And those early believers are so excited about what has happened that their loved one Jesus is alive. Suddenly they understand he's not just the Messiah we thought he was, but a whole new kind of a Messiah that we didn't understand. And they're trying to grapple with this. And in Acts chapter 1, we see them obeying what they were told to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. Let's start in verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, he's talking about the book of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. Verse 3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father had promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Verse 8 has been preached on so many times in the last 20 years. You will receive dynamite power, the dunamis power. You will receive the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive tongues and prophecy and discerning of spirits. All of these things. But first and foremost, Jesus is telling his disciples, you're going to receive power and you're going to be my witnesses. The disciples then, we go on to follow their story. And we see in chapter 2, when they were obeying Jesus, they were waiting, they were in prayer, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. But the gift of the Holy Spirit, the long-awaited promise that the God Himself would live in us and move us to obey, and when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, that you would be His witnesses. Now, here's the thing that I think God wants us to notice today. There's so much we could say about the power of the Holy Spirit. But in the context of our church and the season that we're in, do you know in September, Ron McLean and Steve Thomas are coming back for another visit? And this time, Richard and Kate Colebrook will come with them. Richard and Kate are from a church in England, and Richard is a pastor there. And God has used them to bring many people to the Lord. Many people have been converted through their sharing and witnessing. Richard and Kate will come and have a weekend with us in September simply to talk about what they've learned about sharing Jesus with their non-Christian neighbors. The season that we're in right now, God is saying He's going to enlarge us. He's already sending people from us to Trail, to Warfield, to plant a church. But He's also going to empower us. He's going to enlarge us in Vancouver. He wants to equip us. There's something we need to note about the Holy Spirit here. Number one, most important, is that He's here to help us to look like Jesus. He's here to help us obey. And number two, when power comes upon disciples, they are witnesses. Now just stop there for a moment. So many times when we think about sharing Jesus with non-Christians, we want to learn how a salesman sells the product. But that isn't what this scripture says. This scripture says a witness. It's like a few weeks ago, I was driving down Grandview Highway, and all of a sudden, this person rolled out of traffic in front of me. And I realized that they had been hit by the van on the other side. I stopped. The person was okay. I went to the side. I gave my name and address as a witness. Why? Because if that case gets investigated, the police want to talk to someone who saw it, who experienced it, who knew what happened. Was the light red or green? Was there cars everywhere? Was the person crossing at the corner or crossing in the middle of the road? And I know those details. They were not at the corner. They were in the middle of the road, walking in between cars. The light turned green. The car went. They hit the person. All of those details are important that a witness knows. This is the word that is used here. When the Holy Spirit power comes upon you, there's a whole lot you've got to tell about. It's not that the Holy Spirit comes and teaches you how to be a good salesman. It's not that the Holy Spirit comes and suddenly you can perfectly describe these flowers and perfectly describe, Joey, why you need to buy these and how happy it will make your wife and what a good husband you would be, and especially if it's close to Mother's Day, and how important it is that you don't forget her birthday. All of these things might be a salesman's approach to why you need to buy these flowers. And so many times, I've read this verse like that. Holy Spirit, teach me how to talk about Jesus. But that isn't actually the point. The point is that when the living God comes and fills us and moves us to be like Him, we're so different. And people say, what's with you? I saw you on the construction site last week and that big thing fell on your foot and you didn't cuss anybody out. Why? Well, I used to be like that. But you know, something happened. And God's living inside of me and He just doesn't respond that way anymore. I mean, I don't respond that way anymore. He never did. The one who never did respond that way is now moving me to follow His decrees. I'm so thankful that the things that used to be in my mind aren't in my mind anymore. They really aren't. He's still working. There's some things that are in my mind that I hope they get cleaned out too. But that's the promise from Ezekiel, that He will cleanse us, sprinkle us, make us clean, move us to be like Him. All the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit, all the power of God upon us, are for the purpose that He would be our God and we would be His people. That His people would have this relationship with their Father where they would make Daddy proud. All of this teaching in the New Testament about sanctification, about God purifying our lives, about God helping us to live right, all of the teaching from Paul about what is truth and what isn't truth, what we should live and what we shouldn't live, all of that is because this has always been the goal. That He would be God, we would look like Him, made in His image. This is how it was in the Garden of Eden. Man was not just placed in the Garden of Eden and living independently. Man was supplied by God. He walked with Him in the cool of the day. He breathed the breath of life into him. And when man disobeyed and was banished from life, then we have all the problems that we see in our world today. Then we have bodies that wear out. Then we have fights and quarrels. Then we have perversity. Then we have thanklessness. But when we meet Jesus and we believe, everlasting life is available. And what's even better, not just everlasting life someday, but today, that He would live in us, with us and in us, to move us to obey. And when that power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it will so change us that we've got a lot to witness about. We've got a lot to tell about. It's not that He comes and empowers us and teaches us how to be a salesman, although, of course, God does teach us how to speak, yes. But the point of this is that when His power comes upon us, something's happened. The other day we were in the kitchen and suddenly there was this explosive noise. What is that? We ran outside and all these military jets were on their way to Abbotsford Air Show. Oh, that's what it was. And then kids run out. What was that noise? Oh, you should have seen it. There's this beautiful formation of planes. I witnessed to what I saw, to what I heard. That's what happens when Jesus changes our lives and we witness to what He has done. So most importantly, is not that we teach one another how to learn a salesman's language, but most importantly is that each of us experience God. I want to know Him. I want to know His fullness. I want to know His change. I want to know His power. I want to know His life. Let's seek the Lord until His power changes us. Then there's so much explosion to witness to. There's so much to talk about. God bless you.